You boys like Mexico?
Mm-hmm. Big time. I like the ass.
Mm. See?
The bud blossoms?
Mm.
Yeah, the bud blossom. I'm going to make that thing. I'm going to make that a thing.
The chocolate-flavored starfish?
Chocolate starfish, yeah.
Yeah. Chocolate starfish and hot dog-flavored water.
There you go.
Yay, dude, Limp get your Limp Bizkit album titles right, Dave.
What an asshole I am.
I mean, honestly, when was the last time they were relevant?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
They have some pretty fun songs.
I like them. Rolling, rolling, rolling.
What?
Just roll. I'm rolling, 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 rolling.
They talk about Nookie. And that's always fun.
Yes, and cookies.
Because
it rhymes with Nookie. What rhymes with Nookie? I don't know, cookie. That's basically how that rap session went. Yeah. Where would you put said cookie, my friend?
I'd put it in your...
Terrible.
Not a single mention of Wookiee in there.
I know, right? This is like a given.
Maybe, I know. It's like a gimme right there.
Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Welcome back to another fun-filled episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here, flying with my main men, Randy, Justin. How you guys doing today?
I'm fabulous, thank you.
Great, thank you. How you doing?
I'm doing great, like Tony the Tiger great. Why are you doing so great, Randy? What's making you so great?
Oh, man. Well, first of all, spending the weekend at the D23 Expo was pretty damn cool, I've got to say. I'm a pretty big fan of Disney, and I've never been to a D23 before, but, of course, my main reason for wanting to go was to soak up any kind of new Star Wars information that came out, but I loved every second that we were there, and well beyond just the Star Wars announcement. That is why I am so happy. I'm sure we'll go into more details later throughout the podcast, but that's just a tease for now.
Well, shit, why don't we just go right into it? Give us one of the big announcements.
Well, the biggest announcement
we talked about before the show.
the biggest announcement for me personally, I think, is something that I have been wanting ever since I was a child. And the Star Tours ride first opened in 1987. I was clamoring for an entire land of nothing but Star Wars, or even better, an entire Star Wars theme park. Well, they're going to give us part A of my childhood wish. They're giving us a Star Wars land at Disneyland and over in Florida at Disney MGM Studios. And I could not be more excited about that. The Disneyland one is going to be 14 acres of Star Wars goodness. It's going to be lushly themed after a new world that we have yet to see on screen. I think it's going to be a world from episode 7. It's going to have a couple of attractions in it, including one where we actually get to be on board the Millennium Falcon, and all the stores and the restaurants throughout the entire area are going to be staffed by non-human residents of the Star Wars galaxy. We're talking like Twi'lek dancing girls and all sorts of freaking alien creatures trying to sell you a slop on the street corner. It's going to be amazing. I want to buy a churro from a freaking Doug, like Sebulba.
Although I don't know if there's
a particularly dangerous Doug. Stupid.
As opposed to those well-tempered, nice Dougs.
He should be one of those rides where you put like a quarter in and then it just kind of shakes back and forth. Like outside the grocery store. Do they still have those?
It's just like going up and down.
That's it. That's all I got.
Well, it's funny. At the presentation, they showed like this like 10-second clip before they announced the Star Wars land. And like when it was over, everyone was like, Is that it?
Yeah.
Is that all we get?
Yeah, it didn't really do anything. It's like this giant hatch opens. It's like it's kind of like you're inside of a ship, and it looks like a hatch that would open up to eject an escape pod, and it just shows you like this mountainous city kind of thing. So it's like a little like a public square, a little bazaar kind of thing, surrounded by mountains, which is kind of how they can get away with secluding it in Disney and not seeing the outside world from inside that land. And you're just staring at this landscape, and then a couple TIE fighters fly by, and then that was the end of the clip. We're like, all right, well, that didn't really tell us anything or show us much, but all right.
Yeah, and they showed us the concept art. They showed us, you know, that the two rides were going to be the Millennium Falcon ride. And the other one that they didn't give a lot of details on, but that they were kind of hinting at before D23, that it would change the way the amusement parks do rides. They said it was going to put us right in the middle of the action in a battle between the First Order and the Resistance. And it showed, like, you know, the two sides going at it. So, I mean, to my eye, it looked like maybe there would be actors and, you know, we would be interacting with them at certain points, trying to escape from, like, some base being attacked by the First Order.
Yeah, so that's going to be kind of cool. Some but aggressive stormtroopers running around.
But what if I don't want to wait that many years for it to be built, Randy? Is there anything that's going to happen sooner?
Hey, I'm glad you asked, because there is. Speaking of Star Tours, they're going to be updating it yet again before the end of this year, probably coinciding with the time that the movie is released. And it is going to include a new planet that we have yet to see that, again, is going to be seen in Episode 7. So that's exciting. But even more exciting than that is something that Disney is starting called, what is it, Season of the Force or something like that? It's a seasonal event that they're going to just be, like, all out celebrating Star Wars. And they're going to be doing something different in Florida than they are here in California. But California, in my opinion, gets the longer straw. We get the better end of the deal because they're going to be transforming our Space Mountain ride into Hyperspace Mountain. So they're going to be changing up the soundtrack, and they're going to be projecting, like, TIE fighters and shit on the wall. It's going to be a whole new experience. And if you've never been on the Space Mountain attraction here in California, the way it works is it's basically a dark ride. It's a roller coaster, and there's stars and planets and asteroids and stuff projected on the walls of the inside of the building. And it's funny because growing up, there was always this one rock, this asteroid that kind of resembled the Millennium Falcon that would come spinning through every once in a while. But here, we're actually going to have actual Star Wars ships flying around in there with you, and it's going to have a very Star Wars-centric soundtrack, and I think the audio animatronics at the beginning are going to be Star Wars figures, so that's going to be super cool. And you know what Florida gets out of the deal? They get a fireworks show to John Williams' Star Wars music, which is cool. Not nearly as cool as a ride, though. But they also have Star Wars weekends over there, so I guess they don't really have anything to complain about.
Yeah.
And Star Wars weekends, for anybody who hasn't heard of that, basically for a certain time of the year, which I think is part of spring and summer, every weekend they have like a little miniature Star Wars celebration where they'll have somebody, some celebrity from the movie come out and do a signing. They'll do a parade. They have a bunch of costumed characters out there doing stuff with kids. They have a much larger Star Wars presence over there at the Disney Hollywood Studios than we do here at Disneyland currently. They have an Ewok village, like a quarter scale AT-AT walker. They have all sorts of cool stuff, like a full-size speeder bike you can have your picture taken on. And that's right by their Star Tours attraction. They've always had some cool stuff over there.
Yeah, like what?
I pretty much just named it.
I know. But why male models?
Wait, are you serious? And they're also going to add a new characters and new theming to the Jedi Academy. So for young ones, you might get to duel with Kylo Ren or someone from the First Order.
Some adult to kill them.
Yeah, with the lightsaber.
Wouldn't that be funny? It's like a total shame fest for kids to get up there. And then they gotta go home crying. You guys just get their asses kicked by adults.
Yeah, I think if you really want to terrorize kids, don't have them fighting Darth Vader and Stormtroopers or even Darth Maul. Stick freaking Hayden Christensen, Anakin Skywalker out there, because that motherfucker murdered children. You never saw any of the other ones kill kids on screen.
Yeah, he's the worst of them all.
Yeah, you don't even need a big black helmet and armor and a cape and everything. Just freaking Hayden Christensen out there murdering children.
Oh, look, it's Anakin. He's here to save us.
Not quite, kid.
We're all saved.
Just like an episode kid, episode three, the cute kid with the chubby cheeks. Anakin goes into the room and he kind of perks up like, oh, we're safe. And then the door closes behind him. You don't see that kid alive ever again. Cute little kid.
You should turn his lightsaber on and force pull them into his lightsaber.
Exactly. Expend the least amount of effort.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool.
Speaking of other characters who were killed off in franchises that we were hopeful never to have to see again, Justin, what's happening with Pirates of the Caribbean?
Oh, man, our buddy, Mr. Orlando Bloom. He's coming back, man, in a big fucking way. What is his name on that show?
Will Turner.
Will Turner, that's right. He is Capitan of the Flying Dutchman. And for those of you that don't know, that means that he's basically a piece of shit that kind of... He takes pirates off to the afterlife. He's just one of those guys.
But maybe he's a nice version of it. Maybe he like does it with like love and compassion.
That's what he's supposed to do. That Davy Jones sort of took a dark turn.
Yeah.
And Mr. Will Turner is a bit of a shiny beacon of light out in the dark skies of the seas. And I think that he might be able to swish that little tail around. I'm curious to see if they're going to kill off Miss Swan. You know, if they're going to mention her or what. But yes, Orlando Bloom will be in the next pirate movie.
Yeah, when they made the announcement and they were talking about like this big old thing, I'm like, oh, maybe they bring back Keira Knightley. That'd be kind of cool. And they're like, Orlando Bloom, like, ugh. But who knows? Orlando Bloom is in the three better Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, you know what? We've talked about pirates a couple times, and as much as we all think that the third one is the worst one, oh no, it's not the worst one. It's the worst of the three of the trilogy. Forget that other one came out. What was the other one?
On Stranger Tides.
Yeah, that one was horrible, wretched. I hated that movie so much. But when I watch it, I watched it again not too long ago, and it wasn't that bad. The only scenes that I didn't enjoy were the ones where Johnny Depp was like crazy and there were multiple Jack Sparrows running around.
Mm-hmm.
Everything
the
else
crab.
I yeah.
Like the rock crabs or whatever.
Yeah, everything else I enjoyed though. I liked the big old pirate battle on the sea with all the ships during like the maelstrom and everything. That was pretty cool. I don't know.
I'm with you. I mean, I don't know if it's because I've seen 4 and I know what a bad Pirates of the Caribbean movie looks like that I don't hate 3 as much anymore.
Right.
But I mean, I think what it is that 1 is just so good.
Yeah, it's amazing. Curse
of the Black Pearl is just such a good movie. It's kind of like the first Matrix movie. They're both just such good movies that, you know, since the next two are disappointments, it's magnified because the first one was so amazing.
Right. Bootstraps.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of the hate, you know, probably from my end is misplaced because the second two movies seem to like put a bigger emphasis on the importance of good old Will Turner, and so maybe that's why I'm just like transferring my negativity towards him.
You know, 2003 was an interesting year for motion picture shows.
Oh yeah, how so?
That was also Return of the King came out that year too.
Ooh yeah.
That was
and
a
what
good
every
one.
Oscar in the world.
Finding Nemo came out that year. Fucking Kill Bill came out that year. Your favorite, the Hulk movie came out that year.
That means Daredevil came out that year too, on February 14th.
It did. X2 was in 2003. That's Matrix Reloaded, which made a lot of money, but it wasn't all that good. So, I don't know. That's just kind of... Bad Boys 2, Dave!
Mm-hmm.
Oh, anyway.
And now we're getting Bad Boys 3 and 4.
Yeah, what's that all about? But Will Smith's barely going to be in it? Speaking of Lowry, isn't there a Lowry tied to the Star Wars now?
Is there?
Isn't there? Isn't there like I forget his name. Something
King
Lowry.
Ding-a-ling. Is like Mike Lowry.
Oh, man. Isn't there somebody, some douchebag named Lowry that's a part of Star Wars now?
There's, I don't know. You're talking about, like, Rogue One?
Who's directing that?
Gareth Edwards.
Oh, yeah.
Colin Trevorrow's going to direct. They announced him as the director for Episode 9.
And they kind of
really glazed over it. They were kind of trying to get through a lot of the Star Wars news fast. I don't know if they're running behind schedule, but it was kind of like, Oh, yeah, and episode 9 director Colin Trevorrow. Like, oh, okay, you know, maybe talk about that for a second. You know, he just did direct the third highest grossing film of all time. In Jurassic Worlds. And then they, even with the, when they announced the full cast for Rogue One, they kind of glazed over that too. You know, the big takeaway on that was Alan Tudyk is going to be in it. I guess he's going to be a CGI character, a motion capture guy. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
Interesting.
They released that first photo with all of them looking all haggard and dirty and like they'd just been through Nam. But I'm excited. Pretty cool.
Some of the outfits look familiar. Like I noticed to the right of that one image, you see one of the backpacks like the Hoth Rebel soldiers were wearing, and one of the guys in the background is wearing like the same kind of headgear and like a vest. Even though they're not in a, it doesn't look like they're in a cold weather environment there. It's just neat to see that original trilogy era Rebel outfits. Cool stuff.
Fuck the Rebels.
They steal stuff. You know, they're basically the bad guys,
right?
And they're basically terrorists.
Yeah, they went through a lot of people died to bring order to the galaxy, and they're trying to fuck it up.
Yeah, one of their dads come back. Hey, Luke, you know, I killed a lot of people for stability in the universe, and you're kind of mucking it up.
Mm-hmm.
You're killing more people to destabilize it.
That's a problem.
I don't like what you're doing here.
Well, you got your goddamn unions, Dave.
Well, you know I'm not a pro-union guy.
Idiots. God, where did I read about this Lowry guy? I swear I was reading one of your posts, and there's some asshole named Lowry.
I wish I knew.
Oh, man, you wrote it.
I wrote a lot. I'm trying to rack my brain of something with Lowry.
Like Mike Lowry?
Mike Lowry.
Maybe
matter. You're thinking Sacha Baron Cohen, because he's going to be in Alice Through the Looking Glass.
No, I'm not interested in that at all.
No.
Nope.
Not in the least bit. I don't
get
it.
They showed a quick little tease, and one of the allures was that Tim Burton directed the original. He's not even directing this one. He's just producing it. And it's just, you know, I don't know. I wasn't a huge fan of the first one. I don't really like that visual style. And I'm not on board. The lady behind me, she was sure as shit on board. She was losing her shit every second on every announcement of they showed the White Queen and the Red Queen and the Mad Hatter and this and that. And I'm like, eh, no, I don't get it. What about you, Randy? Did this footage resonate within your bowels?
Not at all. I mean, I didn't really particularly care for the first Alice in Wonderland movie, the live action one. I don't know. It just didn't do it for me. So I will probably either be skipping this one, or I'll wait and watch when it comes to home video.
You know, interesting thing, when Alice in Wonderland came out in theaters, we had just started doing our very first podcast together, the three of us, with Patrick Foley. And Randy was the only one that had seen it, the three of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was probably complaining about what's-her-face with the big fucking Hathaway mouth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one.
Yep.
She's pretty.
She is pretty. Fine young woman.
The views of Randy Van Dyke are not shared by the rest of King Legacy.
His thoughts are his own.
I'm just not as large a fan as you guys are.
Send all hate mail to randy@geeklegacy.com. Tell him how much you love Miss Anne Hathaway. And now we got Sacha Baron Cohen in it, and it's already a quirky, crazy movie, and I think he's just going to get lost. He plays time.
Like Father Time?
Like just the concept of time. Yeah. And so basically he's going to show Alice all of the popular characters from Wonderland in the past and in the future. And the Mad Hatter loses the color of his hair, goes from ginger to gray, and that makes him bad. I don't even know.
This is a very horrible idea.
It's just the worst.
Well, they go back in time to like before the events of the first movie, and Mad Hatter is kind of insane, doesn't really know what's going on, and part of it's to save him. He's got like some sort of disease. Got the Benjamin Button's disease.
Right.
I don't know, man.
Well, moving over to a live action movie that I was surprised at how much I enjoyed what they showed. They brought out Jon Favreau and Ben Kingsley from The Jungle Book, and they showed us probably about a 2-minute clip, and it was interesting seeing the clip after Jon Favreau was talking about it, because he made a lot of scary comments. Like, he said the technology was pushing the story, which is frightening when it's, you know, stories should be kind of pushed by characters and like dialogue and story and stuff like that. Technology shouldn't really tell the stories. That's just my opinion. And then he made a big point to say everything in this film was shot in Los Angeles. And then he told us how they filmed the Mowgli characters, this really charming little kid named Neil, and he couldn't have been cuter. And he was very fun to watch how excited he was for like the whole prospect of, look at all these people who want to talk to me. And then they show the footage, and I don't know if Randy had the same opinion, same impression I did. It looked really good, and then they started just rolling out just like voice actor after voice actor. You know, we knew Ben Kingsley was going to play the Panther. We knew that, you know, we saw Mowgli, and then all of a sudden Baloo showed up, and it's Bill Murray, and so he's kind of like, throughout the rest of the footage, he's kind of like slowly and like melancholy, whatever. He's sadly singing like the Bare Necessities, like kind of humming it, and it's set this like weird like undertone, and it all culminated with them showing Christopher Walken as King Louie,
and it's almost like Christopher Walken doing an impersonation of somebody doing an impersonation of Christopher Walken. It was like exaggerated. You know how everybody has like their own imitation of Christopher Walken that they do, and it's very exaggerated.
Let's hear yours.
No, I don't have one. I don't do.
You said everybody.
Everybody except for me.
You do Connery doing Christopher Walken.
Nope, I don't have it. Do not have.
I said that today. I do not have. Oh man, I got called out on it too. I was sad at the work job. I go, I do not have. Oh, it's a shame.
But that having been said, it's amazing. And I couldn't stop laughing when I heard his voice as fucking King Louie, because it is just so out of left field for me.
But what is the song that King Louie sings?
It's Good to Be King or something like that. Isn't that his song?
I don't know.
That's Mel Brooks.
No, and that's what he said, but I think King Louie has a song that's something like that.
Isn't it?
I don't remember.
I don't know either. It's awful. I hate the Jungle Book. It is the worst. The only thing I like about Jungle Book are those vultures, where the one guy's like, what are we going to do? I don't know. What you want to do? Because who hasn't had that conversation?
Oh, King Louie's song is I Want to Be Like You.
Yeah, I Want to Be Like You.
Because he wants your to Google be human. Is
slightly faster than me.
And they're like throwing them all over the place.
Yeah.
With their little orangutan-y hands.
Yeah, and all the other little monkeys are dancing around with them and everything.
Yeah, so I mean, so they're working on The Jungle Book, which is a remake of an animated classic. They're working on Beauty and the Beast, remake of an animated classic. They're doing a second Alice in Wonderland based off an animated classic. They just did Cinderella based off an animated classic.
And did I see Pete's Dragon?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my god. That is my least favorite movie ever. And now they're remaking it.
Join the club.
I hate that fucking shit.
Their big coup is that they got Robert Redford. And the trailer...
Is Pete or the dragon?
Is like the dad of the
forester.
Oh, it's like Bryce Dallas Howard plays like a park ranger, and she finds like this kid who's been living in the jungle or living in the woods of like in the Seattle area, like the Pacific Northwest.
Oh my god!
In your neck of the woods, he's been living there for like 6 years,
and then.
Yeah, so Robert Redford's character is like her dad or her mentor, and he's like, no kid can survive there for 6 years on his own. And she says, oh, he said he wasn't alone. He had this, and he shows a picture of a dragon. And then we get like 1 second of like this fur getting petted and changing colors, and that's
Pete. And to the best of my knowledge, don't dragons have like, aren't they reptiles with scales and shit? Do they have fur?
Yeah, I
I don't think so.
Since they don't exist, I think there are no rules. But traditionally, well, yes. Well,
they had scales.
Touché, David. I guess I didn't look at it like that. Touché.
Traditional dragons, yes, don't have
fur. Maybe but that's like elephants. You don't think that they're hairy because they just look like these giant gray things, but they got ridiculous amounts of hair. So
yeah, but they're still mammals, though.
That's true. How many furry reptiles are there?
I can't think of any.
I don't know.
Maybe there are some, but I can't think of any.
Google furry reptiles and see what comes up.
I'm afraid to see what I get. But I mean, the footage looked. I mean, it looked all right. But who cares?
It's Pete's Dragon. It fucking sucks.
They're just remaking all these movies, and then you got Pixar over there. They used to be their saving grace because, you know, even though Disney was making a bunch of crap or remaking shit, you know, Pixar was coming out with great original content, but now Pixar's slate is like all sequels. You have The Good Dinosaur this year, coming out in November, but after that you go into Finding Dory, then you go into Toy Story 4, then you go into Cars 3, then you go into Incredibles 2. I mean, it's just sequel.
Okay, well, but to be fair, Finding Nemo was like in 2003. That's an old one. And Incredibles, people have been asking for a sequel to that forever. And I hate the Cars stuff. They seem to be on fire with those Cars things. What, they got the boats, you got a Bridges movie, probably. I don't know.
Mobile Bridges.
I don't like those.
The Bridges have eyes.
Oh, God,
big
guys.
Old, big old piano teeth. I hate that shit.
For future reference, when Googling anything with furry in the title, mm-hmm. don't use Google Images.
Are you going to see a P word?
Okay, so I saw a dude, and he's wearing like a lizard suit, nice. But there's no crotch. There's no crotch area in it, and there's just dick out.
That's too bad.
Among pictures of a bunch of furries. On. But, oh my God.
Yeah, my save search is on.
Yeah, gotta have the save search on, Randy. Otherwise, you're just asking to see dick.
Yeah.
I like this green lizard with this look on her on her face, like, hey, baby.
Is that the one with the anus? Yeah. Right at you?
Yeah. I like that.
There's a little icon covering the anus.
That's a good one.
Some terrifying stuff.
Yeah. Let's just change it. Do you want to turn safe search off to do you want to see dicks?
Right.
Dick you know, search. Safe search off, you can search anything and all this is dicks.
Yeah.
Oh. People like showing all right. Dick.
Closing Google. No more Google tonight.
Are you sure?
Until we play a game and I need it to win, yes, I am sure.
Oh. Nice. Well, Miss Emma Watson, she did a nice little video package to us talking about Beauty and the Beast, and they had Josh Gad and Luke Evans, who's going to play Gaston and Gaston's buddy. They sing a couple bars of the Gaston song, so it looks like we'll get some fun stuff from some fun actors.
And there's supposed to be two additional musical numbers in the live action version of the movie that weren't in the animated one, written by the original guys that did the animated Beauty and the Beast. So that's exciting too.
Yeah, and Emma Watson's pretty.
Yes, very much so.
I like her.
I have always said this.
Mm-hmm. Even when it was creepy.
Yes,
but we kind of glazed over probably the biggest non Star Wars live action movie, which would have been Civil War.
Oh, oh my God.
We kind of forgot about.
And when
that.
Does Civil War come out?
Next May.
The next May that we have.
Yeah, 2015.
Like less than a year away.
Yeah,
that's fast.
Yeah, they still have a week left of principal photography, I think they were saying, out in Germany. And Capitan America himself was there, Mr. Chris Evans. He came out along with the Falcon, whose name escapes me. There you go. Anthony. Thank you. They came out like literally to hang out for one day at D23. Then they were flying back out to Germany to continue filming.
Yeah, both of them amazing. Said both of them probably said 50 words.
Together,
yeah. Like they flew them out from Germany last night. The night before, they came on stage for all of 2 minutes. Each of them said probably 40 to 50 words, and they had to fly back that night to Germany.
Oh man!
But having them there was amazing, though.
Yeah, Disney owns these people.
Yeah, this is no joke. And I said it before we started recording the podcast tonight, but I'm going to reiterate it now for all you fine folks. It was like camping out for an entire day in Hall H at San Diego Comic-Con and seeing all the celebrities that you would throughout an entire day there in Hall H. We got to see in a two-hour period of time for this Disney live-action movie panel at D23. There were so many big names up on stage. It was damn near overwhelming.
Yeah, and they showed footage or something for everything. Like, even Doctor Strange, yeah. which is in pre-production, they showed us a lot of, like, the previous concept art. But anything that was physically being shot or was shot or was in post-production, there was none of this stuff you hear at Comic-Con where people don't bring footage. The only thing to bring footage for was Star Wars.
But we did get to see a couple new stills that we hadn't seen, like behind-the-scenes stills. No footage, but a couple stills.
And we got a
badass Drew Struzan poster, which is amazing. Came out of retirement to do Star Wars Episode 7. He is my absolute all-time favorite poster artist ever. So that was big. And we got that exclusive image of Rogue One with all the cast members in it. So that was pretty exciting, too. But we kind of glazed over something else, a little bit of procedure that we had to go through
to get into this. Let's finish Civil War first.
Okay. All right.
We keep forgetting the poor guys. They showed about 3 minutes from the film, and it looks pretty awesome. It looks like a continuation of Winter Soldier.
Do they have muskets?
Yes. No, wrong Civil War.
Oh.
Yeah, they do have an Ant-Man. They don't have a Hulk. They have an Ant-Man.
Which is pretty fun. And they were real quick to say, now, this isn't a trailer. This is just a sizzle reel. But it played as long and with as much impact as a full trailer would have. Mm. And it was good. It was actually, they brought their A material. So
yeah, we got,
I was stoked to see it.
Yeah, we got like a minute straight of like a Crossbones Captain America Falcon fight. Mm-hmm. And then it went into, you know, kind of fast cut, you know, teaser type material where you see people on both sides of the act, and it ends. The end of the trailer was Captain America's team running towards what conceivably be Iron Man's team. They didn't show who was with Iron Man. The only person you know is with Iron Man was Black Widow, because you see Black Widow and Hawkeye fighting, and while they're fighting, Hawkeye's like, "Are we still friends?" And then Black Widow says, "It depends. It depends how much you hurt me," or something like that. I can't remember the exact line now, but. There was no Cap on Iron Man fight, which is kind of sad, but understandable.
Well, I think that's going to be, save that for later, because we still have almost a damn year to wait for the movie. It's like you don't want to insert the whole thing yet. You want to, you know, just the tip for a little bit.
Yeah, and like I said about on a Star Wars post I did last week, you know, once we knew there wasn't going to be any new Star Wars footage, I was, you know, I'm pretty okay if they don't show another frame of Star Wars footage ever, you know. I'm sold on the movie. Everyone's sold on the movie. I mean, I know we will get at least one more trailer, but you know, I kind of like, especially the Disney way to market films is just to like throw so much out there. When Avengers Age of Ultron came out, I think someone had calculated that we'd seen 31 minutes of the movie based on all of the clips, behind the scenes featurette and trailers they'd shown. So it's kind of refreshing that we've seen about 2.5 minutes of Star Wars. And if we can keep that number low, I'll be excited.
I want to see everything.
And you will on December 18th.
Yeah.
Fire everything!
Everything?
So is that all we wanted to say about Marvel?
Yeah, now you can move on to the fun NSA-level security.
So, we've been to movie premieres and screenings before where they will literally check your cell phones. They'll take them from you, put them in a bag, give you a claim ticket, and after the movie you can reclaim your device, and that's to prevent any kind of piracy or shooting photos or video of the screen, something like that. And then I noticed that there was a little notation next to all the documentation talking about this live-action movies panel that they were going to be checking phones. And I knew that this room held 7,500 people. I'm like, there's no way they're going to be taking all of our phones and then giving us goddamn claim tickets, because it's going to take an entire day just to get your phone back after a situation like that. So I'm like, how are they going to handle this? So on our way in, they ended up giving you you this bag. It's silver on the inside, and it's like white plastic on the outside. You had to put your phone inside of it and then seal it in front of a human. They had to like watch you seal it up so that you could not get into this thing during the presentation. And that was their way to combat anybody shooting any of the trailers and any of the material that was shown there for this 2.5 hour presentation. And you know what? I didn't see anything leak online, so it must have worked. And there was so much security all throughout the inside of the hall there. It was crazy. I've never seen anything that locked down before, but it all ended up working out pretty well. I was just surprised to see that that was how they handled it.
Yeah, they were pretty efficient. And there was probably like a security guard for every like 3 rows, and they were watching you the whole time. And they looked like they weren't like, you know, rent-a-cop mall cop people. They were like studio police that would probably break your kneecaps and leave you in the dumpster.
Yeah, it was intense. They were Teamsters. Yeah, exactly. It was they brought in a bunch of Teamsters. But, oh, man. So we didn't even know if we were going to get in. There have been people that had been waiting since the day before, the afternoon before. They'd been waiting in line to get into Hall D23 for this panel. And we roll in at like 8 in the morning. actually, it was closer to like 7:30. So we get our badges and we go to get in line, and we're in this overflow section. We're like 6 or 7 rows into this overflow section that it just does not look like the hopes were bleak. You know, we'd heard rumors that the animation panel the day before, only two sections of the overflow line there got to go in. And here we are like 6 or 7 rows over. We're like, there's no way. So we stuck it out. We decided, let's do it. We're here. There's really nothing else that we really want to see today. And we were like the last group of people to be let in. There was like very few seats left open behind us by the time we got into the hall. And the show had already been going for like 10 or 15 minutes by the time we made it inside. That was how long it took to fill up the thing. So we just barely eked in, and we were so stoked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We missed Alan Horn talk about how good Disney's doing. We got in there like right as Kevin Feige took the stage and they started showing stuff. We're like, sweet. Oh, yeah.
Did he Skype with Michael Eisner?
No. Michael Eisner's dead to them.
It was the exact opposite of our Hall H experience from Comic-Con this year. David was 6 people from getting inside, and this time for this one, there were like 6 people behind us that got in.
Did so you point? Made the cut. Did you point and laugh at all the people behind you as you were going in?
Only once we got in.
Yeah, you know, we were like, "Holy shit! Is this happening? Is this happening?" You know, it's like, yeah.
And you're in the front row, all the way on the right side of the stage.
Yeah, we were on the far ass corner. And it's funny too, because we were so far off to the side, and they had big projection screens there so you could see what was going on, because you could barely, they were like pinpricks in the distance to see the actual people standing up on stage. But we were so far off to the side, you could sit sideways in your seat and see what was going on the stage. And also on the very back wall of the room, there was a giant teleprompter. So you can read the script of what the people on stage were actually going to say. And if you watched the teleprompter, like I became obsessed with doing partway through the presentation, I'm sitting there reading the teleprompter, not looking at the dude on stage. You could tell what was going to be happening, you know, 10, 15, 20 seconds in advance. Mm-hmm. So during the Star Wars portion of it, when they ended up bringing Harrison Ford out, I saw it like 10 seconds before they mentioned bringing him out on stage, because I was watching the teleprompter back there, and I just started elbowing David. Holy shit, Harrison Ford's here. Oh, man. It was a good time.
Yeah, it was. And it was good. You know, like Randy said, they started letting people in at like 9:30, so we waited in line for like 2 hours before they started to get in, which I think is acceptable for a convention. You know, I don't think waiting overnight is, you know, very effective or smart for most people, but, you know, a couple hours isn't bad.
If you don't have a whole lot of social or financial responsibilities, basically for the young folks, that's great. You guys wait all night if you want, that's all good. But when you got other shit to do, the size of this hall and the limited number of people in attendance at this event made it so that you didn't feel like you had to wait in excessive lines to get to see the panels that you wanted to see. And I appreciated that a lot.
Yeah. But same thing with like, they need to do a Comic-Con. They just need to like broadcast it elsewhere. You know, BlizzCon does this. You know, if you can't be at the opening ceremonies for BlizzCon, you know, they try to project it in other places. Or, you know, they need to, like, at D23, they had their this panel that we were talking about. Then there was, like, a three-hour gap before the next panel. You know, just replay it in that auditorium on the screens. You know, we don't get the live performance, but you could easily replay it and get the same effect. And I just don't understand some conventions thinking. But all in all, it was a good convention. It was very well organized. I think Randy made the joke that, of course, it's well organized. It's Disney fans, and Disney fans are used to one thing, and that's waiting in line for shit.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, and that's it, too. We were on the exhibition floor where, you know, just months in the past when we were there for WonderCon and for Star Wars Celebration, tons of vendors were out there. But in comparison, very, very few vendors for this event. It was just a lot of different companies that have merchandise tie-ins with Disney, kind of revealing product, that sort of thing. But there were a lot of things down there that just required people to wait in line. They had this great Disneyland archive showing 60 years of Disney memorabilia and pre-production items from planning the park, that kind of thing. And there's people lined up in what looked like probably an hour-long line just to get in and walk through this exhibit. And people weren't complaining. It was very orderly. And like David said, you know, Disney fans are used to one thing, waiting in a line, that they can do that very well. And the theme parks have trained them to do that. So it was in my opinion, it was very well organized, very well run. And the people there were really cool. They weren't bitchy, pushy or anything like that. Everyone was very well tempered. So kudos to everybody involved. I enjoyed it very much. A good con experience.
Yeah, it was cool. And when it comes back 2 years from now, we'll go then. It's an every other year event, so. But who knows? Maybe it'll be an every year event now.
And I got to tell you this, too. A lot of Disney character cosplay, a lot of princesses. And it was summertime. And I'm not complaining. It was a good thing.
Oh, short skirts.
This guy knows what I'm talking about.
Oh.
Did you end up going to see Mr. Holmes, Randy?
I did not.
The porno movie there?
Yeah.
You guys
John Holmes epic biopic.
That's Wonderlust.
Wonderland, but yeah.
Wonderland, that's no good. Yeah, cool. So you didn't go to the movies?
No, I ended up coming home and just crapping out.
Oh.
Man, hey, David and I did make it on the local news down here.
Oh, that.
Yeah, somebody was shooting some footage of people just leaving the convention center, and it was Saturday afternoon. We were just kind of walking out, and you see me, I've got an armful of posters and shit that they gave out, some swag, and we're just walking out. And we made it on there for a couple seconds. It was funny because the next day I saw my dad and he was like, I saw you on TV this morning. He said, I had to rewind it twice and watch to make sure it was you, but it was definitely you. And then I was like, holy shit, David, we were on TV. And he found the clip and sent me a link to it. It was awesome. I mean, it's just a silly little B-roll shot of just people walking around in front of the convention center, but it was neat.
Randy holding my stuff. How polite.
We're wearing our Geek Legacy t-shirts.
I know, it's so funny.
We're repping Geek Legacy out there. It was good times.
Yeah. I sent the picture to everyone I know.
A different picture.
I screen capped it.
Oh, okay.
Well, the one that I sent you.
Oh, okay.
It's like, oh, these guys. And you have the D23 Expo in the background.
Yeah.
That's good.
Heck yeah.
I'll put that up on the website.
Yeah. Well, if you went at the movies, Randy, you could have seen Straight Outta Compton, because it was straight amazing.
That's what I hear.
It was pretty good. It was different than the movie I thought I was going to get, but I liked it all the same. So I highly recommend everyone go see Straight Outta Compton, especially if, you know, like us, you were around in the time of the birth of, you know, gangster rap or reality rap, whatever you want to call it. And if you were a fan of that music like I was.
Reality rap? Who calls it that?
That's what they call it at the beginning. Oh. That's what NWA used to call it. They used to call it reality rap. Oh. They're rapping about their reality.
Keeping it real? Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Keeping it
real?
Maybe. So. He's riding around his 6-foe.
Which is an automobile.
Yeah. Not a Nintendo 64.
An autobus.
It is cute to see all the memes coming out with Eazy-E like sitting on top of a Nintendo 64, though. I appreciate that, internet. Thank you.
I know. I like the memes.
So, yeah. Straight out of Compton. See it. Got a list for us, Randy?
I do. I have 10 80s kids movies that would never get made today.
Like what?
Well, the first one on the list is Transformers the movie, and I know how much you guys love this one, but it is so goddamn violent.
But it did get made today.
Well, yeah, no.
Pretty much. The second movie was like it, where Optimus gets killed.
There are several major characters that get killed off that they wouldn't have dreamed of doing in the TV show, but they did it in the format of a movie. And sure, it was kind of a cash grab to retire old characters and introduce new ones, but it was still kind of traumatizing to watch as a kid.
Yeah, 1986.
I remember I was at a birthday party when I watched it.
It's a good birthday party.
It kind of brought everybody down a little bit.
Yeah, it's a bummer, man. You just see mofos get ripped in half.
And Megatron becomes brutal. Super Mega Galvatron or something, right? Yeah. Stupid. Yeah. And then they're just chasing Autobots through space for like 90 minutes. Dumb.
Yep. And then they just bump into him on Unicron. Like, shit, I should have just waited here and chasing you all over the galaxy.
So the next one on our list, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I freaking love this movie. And of course, I'm a product of the 80s, so the dialogue and everything doesn't bother me. But even if you were to try to remake it now, you would have to do well more than update the dialogue. You would have to give them some sort of new vessel to travel in, because nobody under the age of like 25 knows what a phone booth is anymore.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Next, this is one of my all-time childhood favorite movies. The Explorers. Did you guys ever see that one?
Yeah, with the Phoenix kid.
It's streaming on Netflix.
Yes. It's got a young Ethan Hawke and River Phoenix, and then the other kid who didn't really go on to do much else. But this is just one of those examples of kids who are completely more or less ignored by their parents. They just had their own run of the place, and nobody really noticed when they left to go to space and ended up meeting with these aliens and stuff. It was just one of those things that's just so kind of over the top weird that it just wouldn't get made today.
It is a little weird.
Overprotective. Yeah. And another thing too, I mean, so the aliens that end up sending transmissions to these kids and helping them create a ship to fly out to meet them. They've been watching TV signals beamed from like since the 1950s, so they're watching like old TV sitcoms and game shows and stuff like that, and that is their view on human culture, and that wouldn't necessarily work because in today's digital age, signals don't get beamed out like they once did with terrestrial radio waves, that kind of thing. So the whole way that this alien culture would have been watching our TV would be completely different in today's society. Yeah.
It would be like those fucking Real Housewives shit.
Yeah.
It would just be reality TV. They'd pick up
on that. That would be terrible, man. If we were to remake that movie today and it was an entire alien culture who had more or less just been raised on reality TV and that's all they knew of human culture, I would be okay if they wiped us off the planet. If that was all they had to go by, because that is the filth in the bottom of the human barrel.
So bad.
Pixel style. The transmission takes a long time to get there, so they got the old transmissions.
Yeah, that would be terrible. Bobby Fitt is the kid that you're thinking of.
Oh, okay.
His last thing was Walker, Texas Ranger in 1994.
There you go. Don't get me wrong, he's amazing in The Explorers. He just didn't go on to do much.
Got you wrong.
Next one on our list is The Monster Squad. Another one of those movies that I love. It was kind of what I affectionately referred to as like a bootleg Goonies, but it was mainly because I was never into the Universal Monsters or any of those old classic monster movies, like other people tended to be, but again, it's one of those things that wouldn't probably take off today because what kids are familiar with those old classic movie monsters.
And they're rebooting them all.
True.
There's going to be a whole Universal library of them.
Dracula drives around in that car.
Yeah.
So stupid.
And he's hanging out with Van Helsing, creepy old dude. I mean, what parent is going to allow their child to do that?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. And the little girl takes to the monster, Frankenstein's monster. Yeah.
That movie wasn't released on DVD for the longest time, so I ended up getting a bootleg.
At Frankenstein.
Frankenstein's.
I remember that.
Oh, I missed that bootleg booth. All the best bootleg DVDs. Random obscure shit. Loved it.
Didn't we see him at Comic-Con this year, that guy?
We did. Yeah.
He's better than all the best toys, all the best prices.
Yeah, he didn't even have a booth. He was just kind of hanging out. But our old connection for bootlegs. Excellent movie called Joysticks, this 80s, 80s video game teen sex comedy.
Which you also got at Frankenstein's.
Which I also got at Frankenstein's. Yeah, it's total bootleg. Amazing, silly, stupid movie. Loved the shit out of it. All right, moving on with the list. The Secret of Nim.
Ooh, I love that.
That is a dark, dark movie talking about animal experimentation and stuff like that. It's just really dark material.
And people die, too. The cat named Dragon kills these mice. And then the one guy, Jenner, is all about doing a coup and murdering the leader of the rats so he can take charge.
And it's rated G.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Oh my god. Alright, next, speaking of fucked up, Short Circuit.
Oh yeah.
In today's age where drones and killer robots are a reality, this might be hitting a little too close to home. I have to question the validity of this list. Because of the fact that we did just get Chappie, so that's a thing. So, anyway, let's see, when was this list made? No date. So, this could predate Chappie. Number 8 on our list, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And the reason why this wouldn't get made today, because in today's age of social media, you would be able to track pretty much every teenager's movement throughout the course of a day. And nobody who's in their senior year of high school who has come that far is going to risk their future and their ability to graduate for one day off, especially if they have any kind of college plans for the future. And no principal in his right mind is going to go to the lengths that Mr. Rooney did to try to catch these kids. So, of course, it's very unrealistic.
He just cares too much.
Clearly, he cares too much. But that movie just wouldn't work for today. But it is a wonderful 80s time capsule that I adore.
When he gets kicked in the face like 3 times, I must have rewound that 1,000 times, dude. Over and over and over again. It's my favorite.
It was a scorching case of herpes.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, man.
So, just the pure kind of creepy factor of Pee-wee would pretty much tell most major studios to not use this guy to make a child's movie today. It was something that we could really only get away with in one time period, and that was the glorious 80s. He's just such a weird character that parents wouldn't want to let their kids around.
Oh my god. I literally just watched that movie last week. I think after we recorded last week's podcast, I watched it. And that movie just has Tim Burton stank all over it.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I still like that movie, though.
I showed it to my kids on Saturday, 2 days ago.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, it was the first time they'd ever seen it.
They
watched about the first half, and they kind of zoned out. Once it starts getting real weird, that's when they started to zone out. Like they liked it at the beginning with the bike and stuff like that. But once Pee-wee starts going dark and weird, and
it gets really dark.
Yeah.
I when he's in the basement going over all the exhibit A through 972. It's pretty bizarre.
Tell him Large Marge sent you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a night just
that's
like
terrifying.
This. Yeah.
So, all right. The official last one on our list, Flight of the Navigator.
Yes.
This is another childhood favorite of mine. But it's another one of those where the kid goes off on his own adventures and granted, we find out later that his parents were really concerned about his whereabouts and the fact that he disappeared for 10 years. But the biggest flaw in this movie is, okay, a kid gets control of a spaceship and he never really leaves the Earth's atmosphere with it. He just uses it to fly around the Earth and fly underwater and shit. He never takes it out on a journey through space or to go to any other planets or anything. If I was a 12-year-old kid and I had a spaceship, I would for damn sure go somewhere.
Well, he just wants to get home.
I know, but
that's honestly, all he's interested in. He's enjoyed
the adventure.
He's been away from his family for so long. He's trapped in this new time, and he's scared. He just wants to go home.
He doesn't want to get lost.
Yeah.
I've actually never seen it, so.
You are such an interesting young man. I can't believe you haven't seen it. I saw the theater, dude. I love that movie.
And I've got one more movie here that's an honorable mention, and of course this is The Goonies.
Oh.
And it's pretty much too good to ever be remade. I hope to God they never remake this movie. And it's one of those things where it just wouldn't work because parents today are so goddamn overprotective. They'd never let their kids go off riding a bike to any distance away from the home, much less get in all the adventures that these kids do. And
yeah, but they're not supposed to get adventures.
They're not supposed to stay
here.
Yeah, and maybe it's different because we live in an area that doesn't have large, wide-open spaces and big forests and stuff like that. We live in a very urban, suburban area. We can't go out and really explore like these kids could, but parents won't let their kids stray like more than a block over, it seems like, these days before freaking out.
Well, I bet the Goonies were the same way. They all thought they were over at, you know, Mikey's house or something like that. They didn't think they were off in the freaking woods with the Fratellis.
True enough,
I suppose. Like when you were kids, I'm sure your parents didn't let you stray that far away, but you were a good kid, Randy, so maybe you didn't, but you know, usually you'd stray pretty far and get yourself into some wacky misadventures.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably my favorite movie on this entire list.
Oh, yeah?
The Goonies. I love this movie.
It's a good one.
Certainly doesn't suck.
I like Secret of Nim. I like Flight of the Navigator. Those are good. Short Circuit.
Explorers was always another one of those that I really identified with. And speaking of which, the girl in that, the love interest, just recently died.
Aww.
Amanda Peterson was her name.
How'd she pass away?
I think she ultimately passed away in her sleep, but I know previously she'd had problems with drugs and she was like in and out of correctional facilities and she'd lived a hard life. She was also in a movie opposite Patrick Dempsey,
Run?
Teen comedy. No, it was,
Loverboy.
It was another, Loverboy, yes, that's it. And I was going to say it was another 80s teen comedy. Yeah. Big ol' bummer, because I had a huge crush on her when I was a kid from Explorers.
Loverboy, not to be mistaken with Can't Buy Me Love.
I don't know. If everyone's got a price. That's Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
Hmm.
Money.
Hey, speaking of money, we putting any bets on this week's game?
Sure.
Sweet. You guys want to put some money on this?
$1. $1 USD.
$1.
$1, Bob. All right. Well, today's game is all about the box office. I am a huge fan of the box office. It intrigues me. I love to see how things perform and all that stuff like that. So I got 10 questions with you about the box office. They range from easy to hard. And let's just jump into it. When you know the answer, yell it out. Whoever's got the most points at the end wins. I don't have any weird scoring systems like Justin, unless Justin's winning, and then I'll make something up. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Ready.
All right. This 1998 sci-fi film, or sorry, the 1998 film Lost in Space is referred to as The Iceberg because it ended this film.
Titanic!
All right, Justin on the board. It ended this film's 15-week run at number one.
Came out I used to know this, like April 9th or April 7th, maybe April 1st, I don't know. That first week of April.
All right. What is the highest grossing R-rated film of all time?
Matrix Reloaded.
Yeah. Randy?
I don't know. I don't even have an answer.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Nope. You named 2 and 3, but number 1 is Passion of the Christ.
Holy crap. There's no way I would have guessed that.
All right. Moving on. This film made 110,500 times the money in the box office as it cost to make.
Blair Witch Project?
Blair Witch Project. Randy on the board. All right. Adjusting for inflation, this film from 1939 is the highest grossing movie.
Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind with $3.3 billion.
Wow.
Hey, that's Dr. Evil money.
All right. What movie spent the most weekends at number one?
Titanic.
Nope.
Oh, Avatar!
Nope.
No, fucking Passion of the Christ again.
Nope. You got a guess, Randy?
Star Wars?
Nope, E.T.
Fuck that movie.
Movie's great. Don't you fucking dismiss
it. I like E.T. It still makes me cry.
It's sad.
I love E.T.
Oh, and he's sick? I hate it. Oh, my God, I hate it so much.
Yeah, it's terrible. All right, next. Despite becoming a cultural landmark, this film barely grossed half its budget and was considered a box office flop. Maybe they should have broken rule number one and talked about it.
Oh, Fight Club.
Fight Club. Mr. Randy Van Dyke.
That's a good one.
All right. For 1 week in November 1994, this man had the number one rated television show, the number one movie at the box office.
Howard Stern Private Parts.
Nope, and the number one bestseller. The movie... The Santa Claus. The
Tim Allen.
Tim Allen. Justin.
I almost said Sinbad.
Ouch.
A show, maybe.
What is the highest grossing film that is not part of a series or based on an existing property?
Avatar.
Avatar is right.
Really? It is part. It's a part of the series.
It's not out. No, there's no part.
Oh, that's the whole reason I didn't say that is because I knew that's part of it.
I was trying to throw you guys off, throwing you off the scent. All right, there's two more questions, Randy. You need both these to tie it up. All right. How many of the films that have grossed over $1 billion were originally released before the year 2000?
Two.
Three
is right. Good guess, Randy. All right, last question. Justin's got four. Randy got three. All right, here we go. Despite earning $240 million in the U.S., this film never topped the box office. Hoppa.
What?
What's it's like a traditional Greek exclamation.
My big fat Greek wedding.
There you go, Justin, under the wire. Good nice. Job. Justin.
All right, congratulations. Champion.
I would like my dollar, Randy.
Ship it FedEx. Ship it COD. Yeah.
I want 100 separate shipments of a penny each.
I will slingshot them up to you.
Shoot them out of the cannon.
It's not going to work. My fucking post office is a piece of shit anyway. They would steal it.
I would load them into a shotgun and fire it into the air.
Whoever gets it, gets it.
Best $1.80 I ever spent. What Western is that from?
Young Guns 2!
There you go. All right.
You already won the game.
I'll make you famous.
Young Guns 2.
Nice. Well, good job, Justin. Anybody have any last-minute shout-outs?
Yes, it's Amanda's birthday today. Happy birthday, Amanda.
Happy birthday.
She's out boozing.
Everybody should email her and say happy birthday. Amanda@geeklegacy.com.
Yes.
Send her your well wishes. Tell her to listen to the podcast, because you know she ain't.
I think she turns 30 today. How exciting.
Holy shit.
The big 3-0.
She was born in 1985. Wow. Like Godzilla, but not really.
Or Back to the Future.
Or Back to the Future.
Or
good. Or the aforementioned Bill and Ted.
That was 89.
Bill and Ted's 89?
Yeah, that's late 80s. That's damn near 90s.
Really? Excellent Adventure?
I think so.
I thought they had to, like, re-record dialogue to change it from, like, 84 to 85.
Oh, my God, no.
I thought it was, like, 87, but I'd buy 89. I knew it was later in the 80s.
Man. Look it up. You got a computer?
Well, while we're fact-checking.
I believe you.
You don't. I'm not going to have that. They are working on.
I always believe you. You guys would never steer me wrong.
I'd row your boat ashore.
Hallelujah. All right, any other shout outs or anything?
I got two quick ones.
Oh, God.
Anybody planning on attending Fan Expo up in Toronto, Canada, please check out our movie, Nonstop to Comic Con. We're playing on Saturday the 5th.
In IMAX.
Not quite IMAX. We're playing, I believe, 5:30 in the afternoon with a Geek Fest Film Fest. Check it out, anybody going to Fan Expo. Also, September 13th, which is a Sunday. at the Long Beach Comic Con in beautiful Long Beach, California. Nonstop Comic Con is also going to be playing 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Come check it out. David and I are going to be there. We're going to have a lot of the cast on hand with us. We're going to be hanging out at the Geek Fest booth, giving out buttons and prizes and fun stuff, and we want everybody to come out and check it out. It's only $25 to get into the convention for the one day. Come on down, check it out, watch the movie. You will be glad you did.
And Randy's probably holding booze.
I'm probably holding, yeah. So, booze.
If you don't mind, like, backwash and bathtub hooch. He's your
yeah. Man. I've always got a flask.
Sweet. Anything else, boys? You ready to put this pony to bed?
Like to put sleep? Down. Like the glue factory?
No. I just put a blanket on him and they go to sleep. I'm not a monster.
I hope not. Horses are awesome.
Yeah, we don't condone the murdering of horses here.
I always got mad when I played Red Dead Redemption and some fucking mountain lion would come out and just attack my horse and kill it. Oh, that was the worst.
But that's just animal. That's nature.
I don't like it.
Fucking mountain lions. Take them out. Speaking of things that need to be taken out, you should listen to the other podcasts in the Geek Legacy Network. Like the stumble there.
That was a beautiful segue.
We got Comic Corner with Tyler and Jeff, where they talk about comics on their pull list. They've been having some pretty good interviews, and see if you can listen to it, and you can actually feel the nerd hate coming off of Jeff sometimes with Tyler. It's amazing and fun to listen to. Similar to the Pixelated podcast with Justin and Steven. It's really an odds couple thing. Who's going to kill the other one first, or are they going to go murder-suicide? I have my bet, but I don't want to sway anybody.
And we haven't had an episode in a while due to scheduling conflicts, but we will be recording a new episode of Pixelated on Thursday at 8:30 in the morning, and it'll be up that afternoon.
Gonna hold you to it.
Yeah.
But other than that, make sure you like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy. It really is the best way to get a hold of us. You know, we love interacting with you guys on the social medias there. So, you know, just send something out if you have any questions or ideas, or if you hate us. You just want us to just drop dead and off the face of the earth? Just hit us at Geek Legacy, and we'll tell you where to sun don't shine, where to stick it.
Yeah.
Might even send Randy to your house to just beat the shit out of you. He's the muscle.
And piss on your face. The guy can pee anywhere. It's weird.
That's right.
I need a stall.
Like double-sided troughs.
I can pee anywhere, and I can sleep anywhere. So I'm going to piss on your face and sleep on your couch.